You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Welcome to the premiere episode of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We got a great episode for you today. We are going to talk about the official launch of the podcast on iTunes, and we're also going to get into some information, some pros and cons about health and nutrition documentaries that are out there, or they've been out there, and a couple that I actually watched this week. Obviously, I'm not here by myself. My lovely wife sitting right next to me.
Hey.
She's going to help me go through all these topics, and we're going to have some good banter back and forth. But first, I want to kind of welcome you guys, not only welcome you guys to this, but all the other previous listeners of our kind of our earlier version of this podcast known as the ETT Rap Show.
Yeah, it was kind of like in its, not infant stages, but it was freshly minted back in the ETT Rap Show days, and still kind of, I think, getting its legs. Now it's official, Addicted to Fitness title. I think it better represents what we are here to talk about, and we have a great format for you guys. We've got lots of just discussion on what's happening. Got lots of upcoming great interviews, and just some funny personality quirks that you'll discover about Nick and myself.
We've been doing podcasting for about 5 months before, and we're not going to withhold those ETT Rap shows from you guys. That has a lot. They have a lot of good information, a lot of fun stuff we did on there. So we're going to sprinkle those into the Addicted to Fitness podcast feed, so you guys will get to hear those past episodes too. The name ETT Rap Show, you guys are probably wondering what ETT is, and you heard it in the intro. ETT stands for Elemental Training Tampa, which is the fitness community I started a few years ago after I realized that fitness was really my passion in life. It took me almost 30 years to figure that out, but after kind of changing my life through fitness and health, for the better, I realized that the most effective way for me to help as many people as possible is through fitness. And I don't know if that's a kind of a self-aggrandizing goal, is to see how many people I can help, but that's kind of one of my goals in life, and what I think gives people the most pleasure in life is helping others.
Well, I think you are your own success story. So everybody, most people at some point in their life struggle with weight management or weight loss, and also getting healthy. You know, even if you are not struggling with weight, you're struggling with staying healthy in a world of many complicated environmental factors, a lot of different factors. And you have really made it your life goal to be a healthier individual. And I think that because of your passion for that, because of your success with that, you inspire other people. Like, that's what I think the community that's being built and that you have built, that's what that really comes down to.
And that's exactly right, the community aspect of it, because obviously I offer personal training services for people that want to have that option, or want to have that kind of a personal trainer there to help them, guide them through fitness and nutrition. But the aspect of kind of bringing people together, because it's easier as a group than a single individual to try to figure out this equation that is living a healthy and happy life. Yeah. It's much easier as a community than as an individual. So that's kind of the abbreviated version of what ETT stands for. And you guys can check us out. We're all over social media, Facebook, Elemental Training Tampa. Just search that on Facebook. And then our website is elementaltampa.com. And also Twitter and Instagram at ETTampa, ETTAMPA. And you'll hear that all again on the outro, so no need to write that down right now. We like to talk about, obviously, we mentioned before, we're talking about fitness and health. That's what we love gabbing about each week. So you'll hear a lot about that. And so we like talking about our own pursuits as, you know, trying to live the happy and healthy lifestyle.
Yeah, this is the real deal. We're not going to gloss it over and be like, yes, we work out 6 times a week for an hour a day and we are super buff. Yeah. I would say we're pretty realistic people. We have very busy schedules, mm-hmm. and it's all about how we're balancing it. Some weeks we are freaking on point. This past week, not so much for me.
it's true. I mean, life gets in the way, unfortunately. I mean, people have a lot of obligations nowadays, and usually fitness and nutrition kind of go by the waysides now. We're seeing that in a lot of the statistics that are coming out nowadays. But I think one thing we like talking about are kind of pursuits, how we found what kind of workouts we did throughout the week, and it's something good that people can kind of draw parallels to and seeing like, hey, maybe I can do that also.
So tell me, how was your last week?
It was good. I had a kind of a highlight, the highs of the highs and the lows of the lows.
kind of like me.
And the week started off great. I went in to actually checked out this new gym over in a nearby town, St. Petersburg, and it's actually open. The gym's opened by my friend Jody, and it's called The Body Shop. And she had a like holiday workout plan, and free. Everybody came and just worked out, and it was just a 40-minute.
Like an open house.
Yeah, it was like an open house, exactly, and it was just a butt kicker of a workout. It was 40-minute capped workout, 7 exercises, 21 reps of each exercise, 3 rounds. So you had to do each exercise 3 times, 21 reps.
And she is more, her gym is more of a traditional CrossFit type.
Yes.
But it has like other offerings. But it's more traditional CrossFit, I would categorize.
I'd say, yeah, I think it kind of is geared towards that. Yeah. I mean, she is a CrossFit competitor herself. But obviously, I don't think that it's just strictly CrossFit.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure she adapts the workout to anybody's kind of wants and desires. I met her through kickboxing when I was training kickboxing back at Amir's Academy, my old gym. And I met her there. She was also doing amateur kickboxing. So she's a really...
Multi-talented lady.
Yes, she is very involved in health and nutrition. Not only does she own her own gym, but, you know, she's a home shopping network fitness model. Sweet. And, like I said, CrossFit competitor. So she is somebody that is definitely, I would consider it a fitness and nutrition or fitness and health professional. So that was the highs. And obviously, that was a great workout. And I was sore as heck for multiple days afterwards. But... kind of the low part of the week is if you listen to some of the past episodes, I really talk about jiu-jitsu training, which I was kind of really passionate about and really enjoy, and I was going to a really good gym. This week I had to kind of put my membership on hold because of certain obligations that I had to...
Major time constraints.
Yeah,
really.
I had to make sacrifices because, you know, with the ETT community... The clients I have and the people and the members of the community, they're my primary. I have an obligation to them to provide them both, you know, not only training, but advice and accountability when they need it. So I had to kind of reevaluate my priorities. And unfortunately, you know, I had to take a step back from jiu-jitsu this week, which is unfortunate. But I think...
you'll get back to it.
Yes. I mean, it's always going to be there. And I look forward to it when I can get back to training. But, you know, once I can start training jiu-jitsu again, I'll realize that, you know, maybe I figured out how to prioritize my obligations a little better.
Yeah, I think that it actually points to something that a lot of people get discouraged by when you do have a super busy schedule, because I struggled with this for years. The fact that your schedule and your fitness routine is going to change dependent on your other priorities in life. Right now, you are building a business, you're building a community. Super hard to take on a whole additional initiative of learning and becoming, you know, certified or belted, whatever you call it, in a very specific form of martial art,
yeah.
Right?
I had hopes to compete. And then it was just, I was trying to, I had too many, you know, irons in the fire.
Yeah, we had our wedding, yep. Which just took place a little over a month ago. Mm-hmm. And for anyone out there, holla to anybody that's planning a wedding, because we totally understand how much freaking time that takes from you. And on top of managing a business, working a job, like full-time job, that is a lot. But knowing, like, you know, I know, you're going to go back to it. Anybody that wants to simply take a pause on a particular thing, it doesn't mean you can't go back.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you have to give up, that it's a defeat, that you're quitting. As long as you keep that door open for future and make sure you know this is something I'm going to come back to.
Yeah, and I realized that, you know, initially I was a little bit frustrated at the beginning of the week, but, you know, as time went on, I realized that that's true. Like, I'm not quitting. I'm just putting it on pause for right now. So we'll get back to it. But that was my training for the week. What about you? I know you've been kind of really trying to stick to a strict exercise schedule.
Yeah, and by strict, it means actually doing it several times a week. So my goal for basically the last several months has been to get 5 workouts in a week. And I have a very abnormal schedule. My work hours shift. Sometimes I work weekends. Sometimes I work really late. Sometimes I'm at work at 5 o'clock in the morning. I did not get a good start to the week. Like, I'm kind of the opposite of you, where I started really slow this week. And I kind of picked up some motivation as I went through the week. I watched some kind of inspirational motivators, you know, people I look up to, and decided that I was gonna focus on a particular goal this week. And my goal this week was to do some heavy weight and actually, like, strength-centric exercises. I was not feeling motivated, so I decided I have pretty good muscles. Like, I have a lot of muscles. They just need to be toned. And I've been seriously scared of doing heavy weight in excessive amounts of, not excessive, but focusing on weight particular strength exercises. But because I just am made with more muscles, I need to work them. And I've been neglecting them. And I focused on that for the last, basically the second half of the week. I did a lot of strength-focused exercises, and I feel it today. Today is my first day off in 3 days, but I feel really good. And, like, I don't feel guilty I'm taking a day off. I feel like I freaking earned this day off. My body needs it.
Yeah, I mean, rest days are super important. The more and more information I read about fitness or nutrition in general is that rest is one of the key components to either, you know, reaching your fitness goals, whether it be putting muscle on, losing weight, whatever it may be. You have to have a rest. You have to include that into the process. You can't just say, you know, I'm going to work out twice a day, you know, in perpetuity. You know, your body's not going to survive.
Nope.
You know, you can only push your body so far. It's actually beneficial to have that rest, so you can regenerate in order to work out again.
Yeah, and be stronger.
Yeah, and it's a long term. Think about this as your life plan, not a 3-month plan. You know, you want to be healthy for the rest of your life, not just for the next couple of months.
Yep.
So you want to be able to, you know, you got to take it slow.
Yep.
And I think that's something that people don't really appreciate. They want results now. They want it now. They want to have that 6-pack now. You know, they want to drop that weight now. Or they, you know, they want to be able to, you know, squat that 250 or 300 pounds now.
Oh, my God, that's terrifying.
it's a slow, methodical process. Sure, there are ways to do it in an expedited way, but that's for if you have a deadline.
Like, say, if you're a competition.
If you have a competition or another guy, Tim Ferriss, he has a podcast, but he also has written books and things like that. And he has just turned himself into a human guinea pig. Like, he was like, I want to see how quick I can put on 40 pounds of muscle. So he goes through and combined with nutrition and unbelievable workouts that probably only maybe bodybuilders do for competition.
Yeah.
He would be doing that, you know, in a truncated time schedule in order just to achieve that goal that he set.
Yeah, he's like a human experiment.
Yeah, but it's not realistic. He obviously, right, what he does is not realistic. It has a lot of good properties. He comes out with a lot of good benefits about what people can do for their own kind of health and wellness, but what he's doing is essentially trying to achieve a lofty goal.
Yeah.
But if your goal is to simply health and nutrition, you know, rest is super important to that.
Yeah, and I think we are the more realistic version, where every week we're going to have good weeks and bad weeks.
Yeah.
So I mean, I feel like I'm consistently revising my short-term objectives for the overall goal of being more of healthy, being healthier and more fit. Mm-hmm. So that happens, people.
You're doing good. Like this, I know you told me about yesterday's workout.
Yeah, I did 15, heavy resistance.
15-minute rounds on two machines.
And I am a person stuff, yeah. that hates machines. I'm going to say it. I do not go to the gym. I do not have a membership because of the weight machines. I never have. But I realize that I've been totally ignoring that. And because of what I should probably be focusing on, again, the strength side of things, I should probably use them. Like, why not give them a whirl? Yeah. So I can't do an hour on a particular machine or just spend an hour lifting. But if I do more circuit training mm-hmm. with the machines, I can do that. That I cannot go crazy. I may have watched half an episode of Gilmore Girls yesterday while I was on the stair climber. Nice.
Yeah, circuit training, I think it stimulates people a little bit more, and it makes the workout move a little faster if you have, you know, hey, I'm going there after this. But people, I think, lose interest after maybe 30 minutes of exercise. Oh, yeah.
I usually max out about, like, 20.
Yeah, so changing up and incorporating different type of movements or exercise into one workout is good and helps stimulate and helps you more apt to come back and do that workout again.
Yeah.
Another thing, like we mentioned the summary that we wanted to talk about in this podcast, is the pros and cons of health and nutrition or fitness and health documentaries.
Yes, like this. Speaking of things you can find on Netflix in addition to the Gilmore Girls, you've been watching some documentaries rather recently.
Yeah, this week, I don't know, I just got on a kick this week and I watched one called Sugar Coated, and I watched another one recently called Prescription Thugs. And one, the Sugar Coated one was a really kind of a summary of how the it's actually called the Sugar Association, which I guess is kind of the PR firm for sugar, kind of like Big Sugar in the United States. They created a campaign starting, I think, in the 60s to try to promote the idea that sugar was beneficial to your health, not detrimental to your health.
Oh, yeah. So it's a marketing campaign led by an organization mm-hmm. in charge of, like, kind of the sugar industry yes. oversight and mm-hmm. marketing.
Mm-hmm. So it's I appreciate it because there was a couple people on the documentary that I listened to. Their books I've read. Gary Tobbs, he has a couple books, one called Good Calories, Bad Calories, or Why We Get Fat, that really kind of explains the downfall of the idea of calories in, calories out diet, which we'll probably talk about later on. But so it has a lot of legitimate sources to it,
yeah.
And it was really interesting stuff, and I don't think anything that they presented was inaccurate, but I think, like we were talking earlier about this, you brought up a good point about documentaries in general.
Oh, yeah. Well, when I was younger, I used to somehow had a perception, maybe people out there still do, that documentaries were facts. You know, they were a bunch of experts reporting on findings and facts. And I think probably until I got into college, I just had the perception and understanding that documentaries were education, unbiased, and told the whole story. And it wasn't until later years that I realized that is a complete lie. Like, yes, they do use credible sources in some cases, sometimes not. But just like all of the articles out there, it is a form of entertainment. It is a business. It is an industry. It is definitely biased. And some of them do a great job in shining a light on maybe a side of a much larger issue, like sugar, like obesity, whatever it might be. You know, pharmaceuticals, but it does not tell the whole story. And I think it frequently positions itself that it does. Like, you know, you don't go in saying, oh yeah, we're just covering one side of the sugar story. They kind of frame it like, here's the truth about sugar. And like, that is the full truth. So all documentaries really do have a biased perspective. They're not covering everything, and people take them as like religious truth.
Yeah, I mean, they're very suggestive.
Yeah.
I mean, they want you to have a certain perception about the subject matter that they're talking about. And we've already, before I even saw that episode, or excuse me, that documentary, we knew that too much sugar is a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of interesting to see the process the Sugar Association went through to try to downplay the detrimental health effects of sugar or over sugar consumption. It's interesting to see that, but like you said, I mean, it's slanted a certain way. And the same thing with Prescription Thugs. Prescription Thugs was mainly about kind of the overuse of prescription pills in this country. Mainly, they focused on mainly a lot of painkillers and or even some like cholesterol pills, statins, and then just prescription drugs for ailments that really didn't exist until they made them up, like restless leg syndrome.
Oh, yeah.
and then pills for pills, you know, it's like pills, if this pill doesn't work, you should try this pill. So it's interesting to see because, you know, it gives the perception that the medical field is more concerned with making money than helping people. And I think in certain aspects that's true, especially, you know, when you get to the actual sale of prescriptions. I think, you know, pharmaceuticals are important and they've saved a lot of lives throughout human history, especially modern human history, vaccines especially. So just writing all pharmaceuticals off is not, I don't think their goal was their goal or their, you know, what they were trying to get across, but yeah. I think they were trying to definitely portray it as more of, you know, a business that's not concerned with people's well-being.
Yeah, and then I definitely, having a parent who is in the health field, a lot of the cases that she would work on were people who had been basically like overprescribed. So they were on so many medications that were actually hurting them more than helping them. I was exposed to that pretty much from a young age, just as far as seeing that the abuse that people can experience. I really do think that there's a major issue there. I think documentaries focusing on raising awareness on a particular issue is awesome. And they are a really cool source of information, but seeing certain documentaries taken as like face, I have a really big issue with Super Size Me, for example.
Right.
I mean, I think what he did kind of challenge the accountability for an entire industry, which is amazing, you know, making nutrition information more visible, holding people to certain standards. But what he did was also really irresponsible from a health perspective, because he went about it in a way that basically guaranteed he was going to see certain results and was not like a balanced or healthy way. So he went in and did something that was going to make him unhealthy because of the amounts he was eating, the things he was eating. And he didn't go in with a nutritionist and say, hey, I want to eat, you know, fast food for X amount of weeks and help me do that in a way that I can manage my health. He didn't do that. He went in and ate the, like, all the worst things of the worst things and the most fattening, sodium-filled. And he saw, you know, the expected results. But because of that, now there's this huge, like, people use that documentary as gospel. I mean, it is something I see all the time, that it's only a portion. Like, it's not the whole story, and it's not the reality. It was one man's extreme exercise with an industry. And the issues that he highlighted might have been extremely worthwhile to point out, but he also told somewhat of a false story at the same time. You know, he only reported on the facts that supported his story, basically. So that element of documentaries, that sensationalism, that also happens in media and everything else. I mean, it's entertainment. But that part still gets me sometimes.
Right.
And I think, like, for Sugar, that I was really interested in hearing your thoughts on that. Because Sugar is something that nowadays we're seeing a lot more focus on, that, you know, no sugar, less sugar, lower sugar. And there's also a flip side of there are still natural occurring sugars out there that have good for you things that in moderation and balance can still be incorporated into your diet. All sugar is not necessarily evil, but I think there's like sensationalism going around that says all sugar is the worst thing, you shouldn't have any. I don't think that's what this documentary supported, but when I looked at just kind of what it was about, I kind of got that sense.
Yeah, I mean, it provides a good education. They talk about, you know, what the recommended daily allowance of sugar actually is, but then, you know, they compare it to what Americans are eating, which is, you know, I think a massive amount more than what the recommended daily allowance
There's
is.
There's sugar in bottled water.
Yeah, I mean, like...
That's crazy.
And that's another part of it, that they've incorporated it, the sugar, into everything. You think that... I mean, it's funny that fruit juice has sugar added to it.
Yeah.
Why would fruit, which is primarily
sugar,
have to have fruit? I mean, I remember I was trying to buy some cranberries, dried cranberries, and they had sugar added to the cranberries. I was like, what? Why are you putting sugar on a cranberry? And so it's just one of those educational things. And like, you're right, it's, they have a certain way they want you to think.
Yeah.
You know, it's I enjoy them because they are entertaining, but they bring a lot of information to light that I maybe not aware of.
Yeah.
And there's several other ones that are informative, sugar-coated. Prescription Thugs are the ones we talked about. Same guys who made Prescription Thugs made one called Bigger, Stronger, Faster, which is about steroids, which is pretty interesting. There's Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead, which is about juicing. Somebody who changed their life really around by juicing.
Yeah.
And then Food Inc., of course,
yep.
And Pharmageddon, which I thought was a good one. And then I think probably one which is more exercise-based, but it's kind of interesting, is probably the... and you get to see the former governor of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger, is pumping iron.
Oh, yeah.
Which is essentially a documentary about the bodybuilding, you know, in the 70s. So it's very interesting to see the interaction and how Schwarzenegger acted.
Yeah.
Too. So those are good. I mean, that one's a little bit more of, you know, dramatic kind of thing. It doesn't have a lot of health and nutrition stuff about it, except for you get to see them lift weights and how much food the massive amounts of food they eat on a daily basis. But
I do think that documentaries, especially in the health and fitness area, are really good at deeper dives into specific aspects of mm-hmm. the issues. I would say that would be really the pro of mm-hmm. them, because there's a lot of information out there. There's a lot of history out there, and so much of what we've learned has changed over the years. It's interesting. It's fascinating to see the progression and just, you know, all the different components.
Right.
When you think about an industry like pharmaceuticals or sugar or something, there's so many moving pieces to that. We have no idea. Like, a documentary is just scratching the surface. There's so much more to it, but it is very interesting to be exposed to all those different pieces.
Right. And one of the great things about documentaries is getting introduced to professionals in that field. Like I mentioned, I already mentioned Gary Tobbs, and then there's other people that Joel Salatin is in Food Inc. He's a great person. He's a really interesting character, and then the names go on and on. But that's another part of the Addicted to Fitness podcast that we want to bring to people is we want to introduce them to fitness and nutrition, or fitness and health professionals.
Mm-hmm. The experts.
Yeah. And one way we're going to try to do that is periodically have interviews with said health and nutrition experts. One of the persons I mentioned earlier, you know, Jody, you know, fitness model, gym owner, CrossFit owner. I would love to interview her in a future episode. And we actually have already a couple interviews in the bank.
Yep.
One that will come out with alongside this debut of the premiere of the Addictive Fitness podcast is a interview with Vinny Tortorich. And he is a celebrity, a personal trainer, works in Hollywood, written a book about fitness and nutrition, has a weekly podcast that he puts out multiple podcasts a week about fitness and nutrition, and really just the definition of professional, a fitness and nutrition professional.
Mm-hmm.
So that episode, that interview will be coming out also with the premiere of the Addicted to Fitness podcast on iTunes. So please check that out. There's a lot of great information. Vinny goes into a lot of detail about nutrition specifically, a lot of things that we are, as a country, are kind of facing and what he believes are the possible solutions.
And it's fun because he's a little bit more unfiltered. I think we try to keep there a certain balance because we know we're not experts. So we're really just commentary and trying to put you and point you in the right directions of where to get certain information. He really is an expert, a thought leader in health and fitness, and he's very frank, which is awesome.
Yeah. His way of kind of distributing information is, like you said, is just honest and forthright. You know, mm-hmm. he doesn't pull any punches. He's going to give it to you straight. All right, so I think we did it. We achieved what we wanted to do for the premiere episode.
Yeah, congrats for the first one.
I know we've been talking about this, you guys. Once you'll hear some of the vault episodes from the ETT Rap Show, me keep saying, we're going to be on iTunes. And then finally it's here. So I'm super excited to reach a wider audience. And I hope you guys appreciate any of the information that you heard on today's episodes and future episodes. If you did, please rate us in iTunes. You know, go to the App Store and rate us. We really appreciate it. Leave a comment. Let us know how we can improve or any topics we can talk about in a future episode.
And definitely subscribe. These are weekly podcasts. So you publish on what day?
Mondays.
Mm-hmm. Mondays these are published. I know there's a bunch. I think the beginning of the week is when most podcasts publish.
Yep. And that's it. I think that's it for us this week. Or at least that's all the information I got for these guys.
That's all I got.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, and we'll check you next time. If you want to learn more about Elemental Training Tampa, check us out on Facebook or go to our website, elementaltampa.com. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter under the handle ETTampa. Please rate and review the podcast. Your feedback will help us get better. Thanks.